Praise God, praise God. John 3, verse 5, everybody have it, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Acts chapter 2, verse 2, real familiar. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." Amen. Praise God. He's going to blast the shofar. Amen. We want you to give the Lord some praise for his word tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will allow me, thankful, amen, that I'm here tonight, glad that I'm able to be here, glad that you're able to be here tonight, amen, but if he will allow me, I want to minister on this thought, simply don't fold the sail, amen, don't fold the sail, look at a neighbor and say, don't fold the sail, amen, praise God, praise God. In John chapter 3, very familiar verses of scripture in there, very familiar context in John chapter 3, we have Nicodemus is asking Jesus, amen, about the idea. He comes to Jesus and he says that surely you are, we know that you're a teacher. Excuse me. He says, but you surely must be from God because of the miracles, the things that we're seeing from you and from your life. Now remember, amen, that this is only John chapter 3, so there hasn't a lot taken place yet, amen, that John is recorded about. So he's starting and talking about Jesus' early journey, amen. And so he's saying to Jesus that you must, there's something about you, amen, you must be from God. And so Jesus says to him, amen, that you must be born again, amen, that if you want to understand what you're trying to understand, he said, you must be born again. Praise God. And so Nicodemus, of course, responds to Jesus, and he's asking him about the idea of a grown man being born again. In other words, how can a grown man go back into his mother's womb, amen, and be born again? So naturally, a lot of people, if they have no understanding of the Word of God, they don't understand, they've never heard, and you say to them, you must be born again, they're naturally going to think about their birth. And so it wasn't something that was unusual for Nicodemus to say, well, how can I be reborn because I'm a grown man? Amen. And Jesus begins to tell him, amen, that you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. So Jesus is trying to relate to him about being born again. We understand that when we're born again and we get saved, amen, we recognize that we are a sinner, amen. We recognize that Jesus died and on the cross, and he sacrificed his life and shed his blood for the remission of sins, and then he rose from the grave and took the keys to death and hell, amen, so that we now have the promise of eternal life. And so if we believe that he did that, and we believe that we are a sinner, the Bible tells us, Paul goes on to tell us, that if we confess our sins and that we believe this, that we shall be saved. And so we know that when we're born again, amen, our flesh doesn't get saved. It's not our flesh that, amen, gets renewed, but it is our spirit, amen, that is renewed or born again. Our spirit, when we are born, our spirit is dead to God. Amen. And so that spirit must be born again. And so when we get saved and we by faith apply the blood of Jesus, amen, we know, praise God, that it's our spirit that becomes born again. Then we have to start getting our flesh to become subject to the things of the spirit, the things of God, amen, the things of the Holy Spirit. That's when we receive, amen, the Holy Spirit of Christ, amen. So Jesus is trying to relate to him and give him a little bit of clarity. He didn't go to a lot of detail, amen, because it wasn't time yet, amen. But he said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And so this mystery he's speaking, amen, to Nicodemus is the first time that we find Jesus talking in this kind of language, in this kind of nature. This is the first time, amen, that Jesus talks about the Spirit. Amen. It's the first time, amen, that we see Jesus having a conversation or talking about the Spirit. Now, we know that the word Spirit, amen, in the Hebrew is the word ruach. We also know that ruach can also be the word for wind or breath. So the Spirit of God, the ruach, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the ruach, HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, HaKodesh being holy, amen. So the ruach, it can be, amen, the word used for spirit, for breath, or for wind. Amen. That's what we see in the Old Testament. The word for spirit and wind, amen, and breath. Praise God. In the Greek or in the New Testament, it is the Greek word pneuma. Amen. It kind of spelled like pneumonia, because P-N-E-U-M-A. In the it is the word pneuma. Amen. And so Jesus is now talking to Nicodemus, and he's talking for the first time about the Spirit, amen, and about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whichever one makes you more comfortable. He is talking about for the first time the ruach or the pneuma, as it is translated here in the New Testament. So he's beginning to speak about this, and it's interesting, amen, that Jesus goes right in. If you see him as he's speaking to Nicodemus, if you read the preceding chapters, verse 4, it says, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? And how can he enter into the second time to his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born or reborn, if we can say it like that, of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said you must be born again. Don't try to look too much in it, but he said, understand this. So here he's telling Nicodemus, amen, about the pneuma, the spirit, or the ruach, or the breath, amen, or amen, the wind, hallelujah, or the spirit, and he's telling him. And then it's interesting that when Jesus begins to speak to Nicodemus about the Spirit, he goes right into talking about the wind. Amen. He says then, after he tells him all of this, he begins to talk about the wind and the wind blowing, and it blows where it lands. Amen. And where, when you hear the sound of it. And so interesting that the word wind is translated here as the same word as spirit. It is pneuma. Amen. So I think it's interesting that Jesus, for the first time, is speaking about the Spirit or the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Amen. And now he goes right into talking about the wind, and it is the same translation as a spirit. And so he says to Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wants to. Wherever the wind wants to blow is where it will blow. You see, we never know when the wind will begin to blow. And that's what Jesus was telling him. You never know when the wind is going to start blowing. We've seen a lot of strong winds this week, amen, and just all of a sudden, amen, they begin to blow at our house. Our bedroom is in the back of the house, amen, and our windows face the back of the house, and it sounds like it's going to, any kind of wind that blows, it literally whistles, and man, sounds like that it's going to blow the house down. When we first moved in and heard it, Luann raised up, amen, out of bed, and she was a little bit freaked out about it because she said, it sounds like the wind is going to take the back of the house off. And so we become accustomed to it. And so here's the thing. Whether the wind is blowing a little bit or whether it's blowing a lot, it sounds the same. So we can't tell if it's a strong wind or if it's just a light wind. Amen. And so all of a sudden the wind will just begin to blow, and we never know when the wind will begin to blow. And so now Jesus is talking about the Holy Ghost, and he referred to it as wind the first time. So the first time that he's talking about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, amen, he refers to it as wind. I think that's interesting, amen. I think that's something that we could take note of, amen, because we know that in the scriptures that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is also referred to as oil. It's also called fire. It's also called water, amen. So you got wind, you got fire, you got oil, and you got water. All of those are used, amen, as symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. Amen. But here's something about all of those symbolisms, amen, that is used throughout Scripture. And you can use them all, amen, legally, if I can say it like that, according to the Scripture. Amen. But Jesus, the first time he speaks about the Spirit, he doesn't refer to it as oil. He doesn't refer to it as fire. He doesn't refer to it as water, but he refers to it as wind. Because you see, we know oil loses its viscosity. Amen. Oil can become rancid. Oil can become, amen, if it sits and becomes thick, it can lose its viscosity. Fire eventually will burn itself out. And we know that water, amen, will eventually evaporate. You take something, you take dry ground that's really dry, you pour water on that, amen, that ground is going to absorb that water, and then that water, amen, is going to stay right there in that place. So oil loses its viscosity, fire will eventually go out, and water will evaporate, but the wind just keeps blowing and blowing and blowing and blowing. See, when the wind blows, amen, there's nothing that can put it out. Are you understanding me? Why? Because we don't know where it begins, and we don't know where it ends. All we know is that we hear it, amen, and we can feel it. So he didn't call the Holy Ghost fire, oil, or water the first time, amen. He didn't want, amen, the Holy Spirit to be symbolic of something that would run out. Are you with me? Amen. He didn't want, amen, of the Spirit, amen, to be thought of as something that would lose, amen, its ability to work properly, or something that would eventually go out, or something that would eventually evaporate. But he wanted, amen, the Spirit to be remembered as something that just keeps blowing and blowing and blowing and blowing. We know that, amen, the Spirit of God is literally the breath of God. Amen. In the book of Genesis, when the Bible, we know, speaks about the Spirit hovered over, amen, the waters, the breath of God, amen, literally was hovering, amen, over the waters of the earth. Hallelujah. You see, here's the thing. Religious people don't like the wind because it's not predictable. Amen. When we are, amen, of a religious mindset, when we like everything to be, amen, in our comfort zone, when we like everything, amen, to stay in the parameters of what we can know and expect. When we have that religious mindset, there's a lot of, if I can say it like this, local churches. Amen. There's a lot of congregations. There's a lot of community fellowships that don't like the wind. Amen. Because, amen, it's not predictable. See, we can be singing a song on any given Sunday morning that we have sang, amen, time and time and time again. And it could, amen, it is anointed. If it's a song of worship, amen, if it's a song of edifying, hallelujah, it's anointed and it will bring us into worship. Amen. But, amen, if the wind, amen, decides to blow on that particular morning when we're singing that song that we have sung time and time again, so much so that we don't have to use the screen for the words, we can sing it without even thinking about the lyrics. But, amen, the will of God decides on that particular Sunday. Amen, the wind decides to blow. When we're singing that song, then we've got to be willing, amen, to let the wind blow. We've got to be willing to surrender, amen, and to yield to that wind. Furthermore, we've got to create an atmosphere where if the wind wants to blow, oh, come on, somebody help me. I'm going to go somewhere. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. Amen. But we got to have an atmosphere where if the wind wants to blow on that particular morning, that we don't just go through the motions and sing that song like we do every other time we sing it. But when the wind begins to blow, that's why sometimes you just sing. We end up singing a song, amen, over and over. We just keep repeating the chorus or the bridge. Amen. We just keep singing. It lasts, amen, for twice as long as the song is written. Why? Because the wind decided to blow. And when the wind blows, hallelujah, it's different, amen, than the fire and the oil and the water.
Amen.
Stay with me tonight. So religious people don't like the wind because they can't predict it. See, people can control the fire. They can contain water. And they can contain oil. Are you with me? Because all of those depend on something that we do to get a response. Are you with me? The oil comes when we're obedient and that squeezing happens, right? That pressure takes place as we yield our lives to the Lord. Amen. And that oil is produced. But if we don't use that oil, if we don't use that anointing that comes from that sacrifice and that yielding, guess what? It's going to lose its viscosity. Are you with me? It's going to sit and it's going to become thick. Has anybody ever smelled rancid olive oil? Man, olive oil to me doesn't have a pleasant smell to begin with. Amen. But when it becomes rancid, man, it can be, it's not nice. Amen. It's not a pleasant smell. And so we can let it happen. When fire comes, amen, as we are purified, amen, and the fire of the Lord comes, as we preached, amen, last week, praise God. If we don't soak that fire, if we don't keep that fire, if we don't tend to it, amen, what's going to happen? Amen, it's eventually going to burn itself out, amen. We know, praise God, that if we don't take care of it, if we don't tend to it, then it's eventually eventually going to burn out. Amen. Water, if we don't, if it's poured out, amen, and then it's not refilled, guess what? Amen. It's not any good. We have the potential, amen, to put water in a container. Amen. We can contain that. We can control the fire, the water, and the oil. But you see, the wind, we can't hold the wind. Amen. You can't contain the wind. Amen. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Praise God. You can't put it in an enclosed place. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you don't know where it's going. Amen. The Bible says, he says more than once that we don't know where the wind starts. And so you don't know where it is. Amen. All you know is that when it's blowing, you hear it and you can feel it. Amen. So that's the difference. Praise God. Amen. And so we can't see where the wind comes from. Amen. Or where it's going. And so Jesus said that's the way that the Holy Ghost is. You can hear it. You can feel it. But you don't know when it's coming. You don't know, amen, where the wind's coming from. Hallelujah. What direction. And you don't know where it's going to end up. Amen. So we don't know the purpose of the wind. Amen. Other than it will change the atmosphere. Hallelujah. It literally will change the atmosphere. The wind starts blowing through a place. Amen. Things are affected. Things begin to move. Some things begin to be, depending on the wind, they can be blown away. They can be blown down. Amen. You can feel it. You can know, amen, that it is there. Hallelujah. It changes the atmosphere. Hallelujah. And so I was speaking about that today. Amen. And this found it, never looked at this before, but I just found it interesting that the first time Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit, he refers, amen, goes right into talking about the wind. And he says, this is how my spirit is. Hallelujah. We know, amen, that the change that comes, amen, when the Spirit of the Lord, amen, or the wind of God begins to blow through a place. See, there's a place on the ocean, amen, specifically, I believe it's the Atlantic Ocean, but there's a place in the ocean, amen, where, praise God, ships try to avoid this particular place, amen, it's called the doldrums, amen, it's also a word, amen, that's used to describe, amen, something that you are in, amen, but it is called the doldrums. See, they can get stuck there. Why can they get stuck there? Because there's no wind at the doldrums. There's no wind that's blowing. What does that matter to a ship that is sailing? Amen. It matters greatly because it's the wind that guides the sails that makes the ship go to where it needs to go. And so if a ship gets stuck in the doldrums, amen, then there's they're dormant. They are stuck there. There's no movement. Amen. Praise God. They can become bored. They can become settled. They can become anxious. They can become depressed. Amen. That's why it's said that when somebody's in the doldrums, amen, they're in a place of ho-hum. They're in a place of depression. Amen. A place of sadness. Hallelujah. And so the sailors would try to avoid this place where there's no wind because it's going to halt, amen, their destination. It's going to stop them from getting to where they need to be. It's going to change their whole schedule, amen, and they could get stuck there for a long time. Can I say to somebody tonight that I believe that circumstances have caused caused you to sail into places where the wind has ceased. Hallelujah. It's not that you don't have the desire to go. It's not that you've done anything wrong to get, amen, yourself there. It's not about any sin or about any rebellion. Amen. Sin and rebellion will take you a lot of places. But I want to talk to you tonight for just a few more minutes. Hallelujah. About the circumstances that have caused you to end up, amen, in the doldrums. Hallelujah. And here's the thing. In this season, in the doldrums, in this season where you are, hallelujah, you've had the fire, you've had the oil, you've had the water. So it's, again, it's not like you've done anything wrong or you've got, amen, rebelled or any kind of sin. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you now are just at a place where the wind has ceased. The wind is not blowing, amen, and so you're sitting dormant. The circumstances have brought you there. Hallelujah. And you've had the fire, but the fire is not enough to get you where you need to go. The oil isn't sufficient to move you and to change your direction. The water is sufficient for your, amen, survival. It keeps you, amen, from going thirsty, and it keeps you from, amen, falling apart. But you're just not going anywhere. Anybody ever been there? Hallelujah. I believe there's some folks there tonight. They may be listening, amen. You may be in this building, I don't know. But I can relate, amen, to being in the doldrums. Amen, to where it's not that you have no fire. It's not that you've not experienced the oil. It's not that you haven't had the water. Amen, but there's just no wind. Hallelujah. And listen to me. What did the sailors do when they found themselves in the doldrums? Hallelujah. They would take their telescope, amen, and they would begin to look, amen, out, amen, towards the water, and they would begin to look up to the sky, and they would look for a sign of the wind. Hallelujah. That's why when we are in the doldrums spiritually, when we are in a place and circumstances have taken us to where the wind has ceased, we need to stay in the Word of God. It is, amen, what we look through. It's what we look at the circumstances through. We can't look at our circumstances through our own eyes, through our own understanding, through our own ways, our own will, but we look, amen, at our circumstances through the Word. This is why we got to keep on praying. We don't stop praying when we get in the doldrums, when we get in the place where the wind has ceased and it's not blowing. Hallelujah. But we pull out the Word. Hallelujah. And we look, amen, through the lens of the Word, and we see what God has to say. We hear and try to listen to Him. We pray and we seek Him, amen, for direction. So they would get their telescope and they would look for signs of wind. Hallelujah. Praise God. And how can they know? How could they know, amen, that wind was coming? How could they know? Now we know it would blow upon the waves, but amen, there, you understand, it's because geographically it has something to do with the geography and the sun and all of that kind of stuff. I don't know all of that, amen, but when they would get in the doldrums and there would be no sign of wind, that the wind would cease, and they would be stuck there. Hallelujah. And then, you know, it would be important sometimes, think about when they would drop anchor. Hallelujah. Amen. And we got to be careful how settled we get when circumstances take us to places where the wind has ceased. But they would begin to look, and they would see the seagulls, and they could see the seagulls, amen, flying on, amen, the wind. They would see the seagulls, hallelujah, resting on the wind, amen. They would see the seagulls riding with the wind, and they would start paying attention to what direction, amen, that the wind was coming. So whatever direction, amen, that the seagulls were going, that would be the direction of the wind. And then they would set sail in the direction of the wind. Amen, praise God, the way that the seagull is flying. And I thought today, when I listened to that and heard, amen, read that, amen, praise God, I thought again about a bird. Remember when Jesus was in the river of Jordan just before, amen, in the chapter before in John, when he was in the Jordan River being baptized by John the Baptist, amen, the voice of heaven came and said, "What, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." What happened? Out of the sky came a dove, and that dove rested on his shoulder. What did that dove represent? It represented the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I thought about that. Amen. When they saw the seagull, amen, riding on the wind, they knew that they could set sail. They knew that the wind, amen, was blowing again. And when we look and see the dove, hallelujah, in what direction, amen, that the Holy Ghost, amen, will begin to move us, then we can begin, amen, to move forward. See, listen, I'm thankful for the times of the fresh fire. I'm thankful, amen, for the times of the fresh oil. I'm thankful for the times of the fresh water. Hallelujah, because it sustains me. Amen, it purifies me. Amen, it keeps me. It lets me know, amen, that the Lord is there. Hallelujah, but listen, the wind will move you in a different place. God doesn't want us to stay in the same place. He doesn't want us to stay in the doldrums. He doesn't want you, amen, to stay where your circumstances have taken you. Hallelujah. See, the fresh oil, it can revive us. The fresh fire can restore us. And the fresh water can renew us. But it's not until the wind blows. Hallelujah. Amen. It'll move us into that next place of growth. It's all about growing. Amen. We can look in our circumstances and we can see ourselves as a victim. I posted it today. Amen. We can see ourselves as a victim, or we can see ourselves as a student. Amen. In our circumstances. So we're either going to be a victim, or we're going to, amen, let the circumstances teach us. Hallelujah. Because we cannot avoid change. Can I tell you that change is coming? We think we've seen change in the world already. And even just this year, we've seen a lot of changes in the world, a lot of changes on the government level. Hallelujah. But we got to keep our eyes, amen, on the one that matters. Hallelujah. You cannot avoid change. A lot of people are flipping out about all of the changes. I have my thoughts on, amen, some of those things, but that's not what this is for tonight. Hallelujah. But my point is that you cannot, amen, avoid change. In other words, circumstances. We preached it, amen, last week. Life happens. Life is going to take us to places, amen, that we don't like. Life is going to take us, amen, before mountains. Amen. The Bible says that faith moves mountains. But can I tell you that faith requires a shovel? Hallelujah. Faith just doesn't move the mountain out of your way. Amen. Faith moves the mountain, but your faith without works is dead. Amen. Sometimes you got to get the shovel out. Amen. And just remove, amen, clumps of the earth on that mountain a little bit at a time. It don't always, amen, just fade away or disappear. Amen. So that's why you got to let the fire and the oil and the water be in your life. Hallelujah. Because it's going to take you to places. Hallelujah. Amen. See, the religious cultural mindset, hallelujah, will put out the fire. Amen. They'll let the oil become stagnant. Amen. They'll let the water evaporate because they don't want the change. They don't want the growth. Because when you grow, that means you got to change some things about yourself. And so God allows circumstances to get us into the doldrums where the wind has ceased. I come to tell somebody tonight, I'm not going to keep you much longer, but I come to tell somebody tonight that I believe the wind is about to blow again. I believe that as some of you are in those doldrums, that some of you circumstances has taken you and you've been sitting, amen, for a long while without wind. You haven't sinned, you haven't rebelled. Amen. Praise God, you've done all you can do. It's not that you haven't had the fire, you haven't had the oil, and you haven't had the water. You just need the wind to blow again, because it's going to take you in the direction that God has for you. It's going to take you to where, amen, the direction where the wind is blowing. He knows where he wants you to end up. He knows where that wind is going to take you. I don't know when it's going to start blowing. I don't know how fast it's going to blow. I don't know how long the wind is going to last. But I believe that in this season that we are in, the wind is going to blow again. You just have to stay, amen, established. The doldrums is not a good place to be. Hallelujah. Because it's easy to get frustrated. It's easy. Hallelujah. Amen. To get in that place. And listen. Amen. That religious mindset, that cultural religion that's so dominant in the world. Amen. They want to put that fire out. They want to leave that oil become stagnant. They don't want anything to change. They want to be able to come into corporate worship and predict how it's going to be. They want to keep it, amen, in the parameters, amen, in the box. Hallelujah. That makes them comfortable. Hallelujah. But though those of us, hallelujah, who are questing for the wind, those of us who are saying, God, let the wind blow. God, bring the wind. Somebody help me on a Thursday night. Those of us, hallelujah, it may feel like we're hitting a brick wall when we pray, but we're still praying. It may feel like that our praise only goes, amen, to the bottom of, hallelujah, the sky and the firmament, and it doesn't go any further. It doesn't go past the dome of the sky. Hallelujah. But we've got our hands lifted up, and we're going to praise him anyhow. It may feel like and look like that our children and our family is getting worse instead of coming closer, hallelujah, to, amen, the promise fulfilled. But we still trust and we still believe. So we're still praying. We're still praising. We're still pushing. And we're not going to fold the sail, because we're not going to let, hallelujah, the circumstances dictate, amen, where we go and where we don't go. Because the wind is going to blow again. And when it blows, see, that religious culture, that mindset will let it all go out. But they cannot control the wind. When the He can't contain it. Oh, somebody better help me in this place. Hallelujah. But it's going to take you in that direction that God, hallelujah, desires for you to go.
Amen.
But you can't fold your sail and become content in the doldrums. The enemy can't stop the wind. The wind is a forceful part of nature. It's amazing. I think it's amazing the damage that water can do. When you see videos of floods, amen, our basement flooded 5 years ago, amen, just about 5 years ago, and I remember all of the heavy boxes that would take two men to lift. The water just moved it like it was nothing. When you see videos of these floods, when we were in the Carolinas in the last fall and they had the hurricane, and we drove by and you could see the floods, the water had risen and it was just taking everything, was just going down, cars and campers and pieces of roofs and houses. And it's amazing the damage that water can do. But also wind. Nothing that's in its path has any control of that wind. And so the wind can't be stopped. Acts chapter 2, when the 120 were gathered in the upper room, 500, remember, were gathered around Jesus at the Mount of Olives, at the foot of the mountain. 500 people were gathered around there as Jesus was getting ready to ascend back to God. He had transfigured and changed, amen. He had his immortal body. And he was telling them, I've got to go. I can't say. But I've been praying all this time for the Comforter to come. For God to send the Comforter. That'll lead you and guide you in all ways of truth. You won't need me like you think you do. He said, but you got to tarry here in Jerusalem until you are endued with that power. Till that power has baptized you. So we know it was Pentecost, so everybody was gathered there in Jerusalem. So they 120, amen, stayed in the upper room. Now, you know, we think that 120, just 120 went. Sometimes I wonder if more than 120 went, but in the 10 days from the time that, the 10 days that was left from the time that Jesus transfigured and, amen, he ascended back to heaven until the day of Pentecost had come into fruition, I wonder if some people went, but they left.
Yeah.
I can see that happening. I can see them thinking, golly, it's been 5 days. I got this to do. I got that to do. I come here. I got to get stuff prepared. I got to, come on, sounds like all I got, don't it? But those 120 that remained there when the date and the day of the Feast of the Ingathering, when Shavuot came, the Bible says, what happened first? There was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. What happened first? The wind. To where they knew something, the atmosphere shifted. It changed because the wind blew through there. They could hear the sound. It says, then after that, fire began to dance
their heads.
Off the top of their heads.
They spake new tongues.
That cloven tongues as a fire was on their heads. So the wind, the Holy Ghost came with the wind first. Then it came with the fire. Because nobody could deny the sound of the wind. They had no idea when it was going to come, right? But at the moment that God destined and willed for the wind to blow, it began to blow through that upper room. Now, it's interesting in Acts chapter 2 when you look at the word wind in Acts 2 and 2. It is the word, amen, noe. It's P-N-O-A-Y. It is a form of pneuma. It's another form of the word pneuma for, and it means, noe means respiration or breath. It comes from a root word that means to breathe hard. So literally, this was the Spirit
breathing
of God, right? Blowing in their presence to now take them to a place, because after 10 days, they could have become bored, they could have become complacent, they could have become anxious, they could have become frustrated, they could have become irritated, just like us when we're in the doldrums, when our circumstances have taken us and we're just sitting, not moving, because it's in a place for there is no wind. But then after the wind, the fire was revealed. I've watched, we had a lot of fires, California and different places, and as a priest in South Carolina, and you watch the videos, and you see videos of those fires. I can't imagine those fires being in my backyard and feeling the heat of that fire and not being able to control it. What causes that fire to spread?
Wind.
The wind. And I begin to look at the science of that a little bit. And the wind causes the fire to spread because it moves the hot air ahead of the fire.
Oxygen.
And so it makes the atmosphere ahead of the fire conducive to the fire. So it blows the hot air from the fire and dries out the trees and the shrubs, so that as the fire moves, it doesn't take anything to catch it on fire. So the fire keeps moving. I may preach on that sometime, because it's the same thing with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. It'll blow and it'll prepare the path ahead of us for the fire. We don't have to worry or trust, and we don't have to do so much to keep the fire burning. But it prepares the way. It goes before, because we don't know how far. And once the wind stops, whatever's on fire is going to keep burning. Then we can control that, right? You understand that? Amen. So it prepares the way for the fire to burn. And see, oftentimes when we're in those doldrums, the wait for the wind can become hard. Anybody else besides me there right now? I'm there right now. I'm not living in sin, and to my knowledge, I'm not rebelling and being disobedient. And there's certainly fire, amen. I felt the fire, amen. The oil is definitely present, amen. I'm doing my best to not let it lose its viscosity or to become rancid, amen. I'm keeping that water, that living water, praise God. But there's no wind. There's no direction. There's no moving. And it's very easy to become frustrated and to become upset and even bored. You can get to the place in your relationship with the Lord where you become bored with where you're at. And then it's easy to become complacent then. And so you feel like the prayers are not sufficient and that all of those things. So I read today that there were times when the captain of the ship, when he had waited so long, when they were stuck in the doldrums, and they waited so long for the wind to come, to get them moving, to know what direction that they could go in, that he would just fold up the sail and give up on the wind coming. And then when the wind would come, because eventually the wind will come, look at somebody and say, it'll come.
It's going to come.
It's going to blow again. It's not like it's never going to blow again. Have you ever been outside and it's perfectly still, and then all of a sudden the wind just comes out of nowhere? It'll blow again. You can rest assured, because the wind doesn't stop blowing. The Spirit of the Lord doesn't stop moving. The breath of God doesn't stop exhaling. It's got to be in your direction. You got to know what direction. And so when the wind would blow again, then he could miss that opportunity, because by the time he would unfold the sail, connect the sail back up, the wind could very well have ceased again. But if he doesn't fold his sail and he keeps the sail intact and he doesn't give up and he doesn't allow the enemy to convince that the wind is never going to blow again, that when the wind comes, all he'll have to do is set his sail to the direction of the wind and start moving again. And so I come tonight not only to tell you that the wind is blowing again, but to encourage you to not become discouraged as you're waiting on the wind. Don't become discouraged in the doldrums and in that place where the circumstances have taken you. Don't make the enemy think, because we can feel like that we're done growing, right? We can do all the right stuff. You can do everything that the preacher says you're supposed to do, right? Based on the word. I'm not saying that in a way that, listen, tell me, I'm going to tell you what to do. You know what I'm saying? You can do everything that the word, let me change it. Do everything the word says. Then you need to take all of the counsel and the wisdom that God brings in revelation through the word and through the preaching and the teaching. And you can apply it and you can do it. But you still be in the doldrums, in that place where there's no wind. So it's not a matter of no fire, no oil, no water. It's just you're waiting on the wind. So it's really easy to get discouraged while you're waiting on the wind. And the enemy will even convince you to stop expecting it. You can become so complacent that you quit looking for it. You quit watching for the dove to come riding on the breath of God. You quit watching for the wind bringing the dove. So I come to challenge you tonight to not get discouraged. I get it. Discouragement is one of the greatest tools of the enemy. It's one of the greatest tools that the enemy uses in our walk with God is discouragement. Can I tell you that discouragement, break down the word, courage is in there. So fear can become a component of discouragement if you're not careful. What did Jesus, we preached last week, what did Jesus say to the disciples when he came walking on the water? He said, take courage. Take courage. Don't be afraid. Take courage. Is it the lion in the Wizard of Oz that lacks the courage? Is that right? Is courage what the lion?
Cowardly.
Yeah, the cowardly lion. So. The enemy will make us afraid to wait. He'll make us afraid to trust. He'll discourage us. He'll discourage you from praying. He'll discourage you from praising. He'll discourage you from coming for corporate worship. He'll discourage you from fellowship. He'll discourage you from believing and trusting. It's one of his greatest tools. He's got a lot in his shed. And he keeps them sharp. Doesn't let them rust. He knows how to use them. But discouragement. So I've come tonight to challenge you to not be discouraged. Not allow the enemy to discourage you while you're waiting on the wind. Because the wind will blow again. The wind is coming. It's coming. The dove is going to come riding in on the breath of God, and it's going to give you that direction. So keep looking through the word. Keep using the word and prayer as, amen, looking through that telescope and waiting and believing. I can't give you a time limit. Amen. I don't know, but I just know that I feel today to let somebody know that the wind will blow again. It's coming. It's blowing somewhere right now. I believe the wind blows somewhere in the earth at all times. It just may not be in your direction at this appointed time. But it's still blowing the breath of God. And he's going to come. He's going to show up. Amen?
Amen.
Don't fold the sail. Don't fold the sail and get discouraged and miss the wind when the wind comes blowing. Amen? They'll come to the music. I feel this. For some folks tonight, no one else. I took it as I was studying. I took it in for myself. Because being in the doldrums is a real thing. Maybe you're not there in your relationship to where you've been there yet. And we try to avoid it, right? Just like the sailors try to avoid that area, getting stuck in the doldrums where the wind has ceased. But as Jesus used the wind to represent the Spirit of God, the first time he talked about it, He wants us to know that the wind can't be stopped. It keeps blowing and blowing and blowing and blowing. We can't control it. We can't contain it. We can manipulate the fire, the oil, and the water, but we can't the wind. Stand with me across this house tonight. I trust this is made clear to you tonight, made sense. So often we can feel like we're the only one. The enemy can make the circumstances and the feelings around us like we're exclusive and there's no one else. Nowhere in the Word does the Bible teach us to go on our emotions and our feelings. But he says to go by the Spirit. The wind is going to blow again. I'm not going to quit praying for the wind. I'm not going to stop waiting on the wind, but I'm going to trust. I'm going to believe. So if you're here tonight, first and foremost, if you come tonight and you don't know Jesus, you're not saved in this place. You're not born again. I want to give you the opportunity to come right now. I want you to know that God loves you so much. And Jesus made way to connect us to salvation and forgiveness and redemption. To not hold us accountable, but to justify us through what he has done. So tonight, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, he's not your Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to come tonight. Just to say yes. Say yes to him tonight. Well, there might be somebody making that decision. If you're here tonight and bear witness to this word. Maybe you're in the doldrums, in that place where there's no wind. Maybe you become discouraged in the waiting. Waiting on the wind to move you in the right direction. You become discouraged. Become troubled. Maybe you've folded your sail.